Free FM.
Penn Gillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Gillette on the Free FM CBS radio. Sitting across from me, as always, is Michael Goudeau. Phone number here is 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And I want to talk about, there was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal. This was yesterday. It was actually the editorial, not today, by... and it's about Washington State, and they have laws on the books in Washington State that you can't date or ask out your dental hygienist or your optometrist or, I mean, it's an amazing law. It's an amazing law. Under Washington Administrative Code 246-16-020, your dental hygienist and your optician are health care providers, which means that under Washington Administrative Code 246-16-100, they shall not engage or attempt to engage in sexual misconduct with a current patient. Sexual misconduct includes, but is not limited to, sex, kissing, so even having sex, kissing, hugging, of a romantic nature, suggesting or discussing the possibility of a dating, sexual, or romantic relationship after the professional relationship ends, terminating a professional relationship for the purpose of dating or pursuing a romantic or sexual relationship, or making statements regarding the patient's body, appearance, sexual history, or sexual orientation other than for legitimate health care purposes, among many other things. Okay, you say, no problem. You should just switch to a different dental hygienist. But subsection 3 says, if you change health care providers in order to date, you're still in trouble. So what they've got in Washington State, we've been trying to find this on the web, and we're not good at looking on the web. I guess not as good as we thought we are. But is this law only in Washington State? This goes through to say that anybody that's in a medical position whatsoever cannot date their patients. Now, I have met, I think, just about everyone I've dated through my job. How about you, Goudeau?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
You met Teresa.
I met Teresa through my job, yeah.
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 So the whole idea of trying to...
I was in a position of power. I was the juggler in the show, and you know how that's immoral for me to date one of the singers in the show.
Yeah. So women have no power against jugglers.
Exactly.
They just do
it
our
wasn't
will.
Fair.
They just do our will. They do our bidding. But there is this thing. It's in the AMA and JAMA have all sorts of rules about patients and doctors.
Right, part of the Hippocratic Oath.
Right, and I'm fine, of course, with private organizations having any rules they want, but the AMA is reinforced by the government. You can't practice medicine without a license from the AMA, right? So it is, in effect, a government, it has government power, right?
Yeah.
Because if you want to be a doctor without an AMA, you're called a chiropractor. if you want to be a doctor without that, then the government will stop you, right?
Yes.
So the AMA does have power.
They will arrest you.
I believe that doctors should be able to date anybody they want, and so should patients.
You think anybody should be able to date anyone
they want? Anybody should. I think if there's consenting adults, I can't think of a case offhand where two consenting people should not be able to date. Can you?
No,
I mean once. Yes, I can. Of course, underage. Underage.
You said adult. Adult was part of your definition.
Adult was part of my definition.
That's right.
I'm one step ahead of myself.
You don't even know what you're talking about. That's how smart you are.
I mean. Are there any cases where adults and how are doctors supposed to be? Because it's also in Washington State. It also includes.
Well, you know, you're not allowed to talk about it for 2 years, so you can't even stop going to your doctor. And mention, well, you know, in 2 years I want a date. You're not even allowed to talk about it.
And they also include rules. The rule applies not just to relationship with clients, but also to key party, which includes immediate family members and others who would reasonably expect it to play a significant role in the healthcare decisions of the patients, including but not limited to the spouse, domestic partner, sibling, parent, child, guardian, and person authorized to make healthcare decisions. So say you're a single doctor, you get to know your patient, and through the patient you get to know the patient's sister, whom you find yourself romantically interested in. You cannot ask her out, ever, even if you go to another
Even if you switch, yeah, make them go to another doctor.
Yeah.
Fire your patient.
But that can't be true. Now our good friend Renee has written in and said gynecologists should definitely be able to date their patients, because Renee had a huge crush on her gynecologist. I don't know if you want that said on the radio, Renee, but if you don't want it said on the radio, don't instant message me, goddammit, because it goes directly in there, into my head, and comes out my mouth, Renee. So you be careful. Be careful about that.
You know, I dated a doctor for a while, I had been a patient.
That's where you met her, right?
Yeah.
And she was crazier than an outhouse rat, right?
Yeah, it didn't go well. I'll say that, yes.
Yeah. She was really crazy.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Yes,
really,
it didn't end well. But I don't believe that's directly related to her being a doctor. I don't think that anything went wrong in relationship to the patient-doctor.
But doctors work hard. How are they going to meet anyone?
Yeah.
They must just break this rule all the time.
It had been years after the time that I had seen her as a patient. So, you know.
I don't see anything wrong. I mean, you could say it's a bad idea. You could say if you're a patient. And, you know, in Florida State, they had a rule that once you'd gone to a shrink, you couldn't date that shrink ever. In perpetuity, you couldn't do that. You know? But I don't think there's any cases. Let's see what Tom has to say. Hey, Tom, what's up, man? What's up?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Not necessarily having to do with the doctor-patient. I'm all for that, kind of like Penn. But you said, is there any case where consenting adults shouldn't be able to date each other? I just wanted to bring up that family members probably shouldn't do that.
You know, there were, on one of those, my mom, for a while, I'm not going to talk about dating my mom, don't worry. it's going to a whole different place. My mom, for a while, tried to watch those afternoon shows like Oprah, mm-hmm. and I don't even know what they
were.
But her friends would talk about it at Bridge, and she wanted to watch it, too. She could talk to her friends. So she watched these shows, and she said she never understood what the problem was. And there was a brother and sister on one of these shows who had been living as man and wife. And people were, of course, outraged by this. And my mom said, you know, if they're not having kids, what exactly is the problem? Why would the government, you know, in an age of birth control, why would the government want to stop them from doing anything they want? Why does the government want to stop any victimless crimes? Be my question. If there aren't children involved, so there's not genetic damage, what's the harm in that?
Well, I suppose you have a point there.
I mean, besides you having a creepy sister.
Besides me having a creepy sister and a brother-in-law and a new nephew,
okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to point that out, but I have no problems with doctors dating patients.
Okay,
just,
Tom, you can be president. You can be president, Tom. That's my test. That's my litmus test. Let's see
as
what.
As long as they agree with you, they can be president.
Sure. Isn't that? Well, that's what voting
sure.
is.
That's what voting is.
Yeah, that's what voting is. So don't try to bust me.
I think if your doctor decides to go out with you, it's a sign that you're in good health.
866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We're talking about patients being able to date their doctors or vice versa.
Well, you know, another part of that article mentioned a case in, I think it was Minnesota.
Yeah.
Where someone, one of the exes of either the doctor or the patient called and complained. So you don't even have to be one of the direct parties involved.
Yeah.
If the relationship's going perfectly well, swimmingly, if you're very happy, you still can be in trouble if the ex decides to call and complain about it.
Well, there aren't laws against college professors having sex with students, right? It's just the all the colleges stop it. Is that right?
As far as I know.
I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure that's true. Because everybody my age, every woman I know my age, had sex with one of her college professors. I think without exception. I didn't go to college, so I didn't know about that. But I think all of them did. We should also point out, while we're on the subject of we should change the subject. I was going to try to segue, but it's impossible. We should point out that now all the mainstream papers are coming out and saying that the gay Ram stuff,
yeah,
we were totally right.
We were totally right. We were ahead of the curve again.
The headlines have been Penn and Godot totally right on everything. And also on the PETA. There's now a PETA case. You know, the yeah. bulls, hit show we did about PETA and said they killed animals and tortured animals, and everybody said that we were crazy.
Yeah.
Well, turns out, well, I'm not saying we're not. I'm just saying we happen to be right on that. There's a court case going on right now.
We know we do a different show every day. It's kind of a shotgun blast. Every now and then we're going to hit something.
We're going to happen to be right. Let's talk to Julie. What's up, Julie?
Hello.
Hi, Julie. This is Penn. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Good.
I've actually called before. I'm the evil potato woman.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure I do. Of course I do.
I was just thinking if you had a psychiatrist, that probably wouldn't be a good idea.
I think if I had a psychiatrist, you mean to date them?
We're to not, date a, we're your not psychiatrist, saying... or if he manipulated you in some way to dating him, like you're the one I want.
Well, you see, but the problem, this is the problem with all libertarian arguments. When libertarians are arguing with sane people, this is always the problem that we have. I'm not saying it's a good idea to date your shrink. I'm just saying, do we need to have a law? Do we need government reinforcement that says you can't?
Oh, I suppose I would agree with that, but I would think some people, if they were not of sound mind, couldn't make that decision. So I think if you have a optometrist or something, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Uh-huh.
But I think if someone's working with your mind in that way, then there's probably something wrong with it.
Have you been to a shrink?
No, I haven't, but I probably should.
But if you went to a hot shrink, if you went to a shrink just to, like, get over some grieving issue or something, and the shrink was hot, you just think that there should be a law stopping you from dating him or her?
Well, actually, I went to one when I was 17, and he was hot. And I had a total crush on him. And I didn't really pay attention to anything he said. I just looked at him. I was like, wow, you're really hot.
And that helped you get through a difficult time?
Yeah, he did. He was a wonderful man, and he never did anything, you know, inappropriate.
Damn.
But I know. At 17, I was kind of a bad girl, so I probably would have gone for it.
I think you need to write this whole thing up on the web. I think that has to be somewhere. I was a bad JulieTheBadGirl.com.
Oh, great.
You should get right on that. I'm gonna take
you know, okay. I've already got in trouble with you.
What's that?
One of my customers was listening and said, you had an evil potato party? And so I probably shouldn't call anymore.
Okay. Well, thank you, Julie. Now they all know, now all your customers are going to think, oh, she wanted to have sex with their therapist.
When she was 17, though.
When she
was
17.
She's fine now.
She's fine now. She's
now
okay.
She wants the law.
Yeah. Now I'm common law. Okay.
And by the way, JulieTheBadGirl.com is open and available, so you've got your work cut out for you.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
$7 a year, you can get it.
Thank you so much, Julie. Evil potato woman at 17 wanted to date her therapist. And date is a complete and utter euphemism there,
yeah,
right?
Well.
She didn't want to date him at all. Let's talk to Paul. What's up, Paul?
How you doing, Pan? Love the show.
Thanks a lot, man. What's up?
Not much. I'm an owner-operator. I'm a truck driver.
Yeah.
And I subcontract to a company that I've been with for quite some time until just recently. Mm-hmm. I started dating one of the women in the office, and the company objected to this. So, you know, fine, I move on.
Sure.
I move on. I subcontract on to a different carrier.
Uh-huh.
The carrier that she was working with is a very large carrier in the country.
Uh-huh.
We get engaged.
Yeah.
She goes to work. She tells all the other girls, you know, hey, I'm engaged to Paul. We're getting married and blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
This works its way through the ranks. They dismiss her. They fire her.
Really?
Really.
Oh, man, what a drag. Was this just recently? Is this happening now?
We've just filed the lawsuit, and I'm going to try and make national news out of it, but I don't think I should mention the carrier at this time.
You probably shouldn't, yeah.
They were
if
so
you do...
adamant about employees dating one another, and they were also so adamant about the terminal manager going out to the bar with some of the guys on the dock, that they docked him a day's pay. He, on a payday, he went down to the local pub with some of the guys from the dock,
sure,
hanging out with them, and they thought that that was wrong, that management should be hanging out with the peons.
Oh, that's horrible. You know,
isn't this pitiful?
When we were on the road with the Penn & Teller show, we had a guy driving an 18-wheeler with all our props, and he would always hang out with us. And he told us that he'd worked on a lot of shows touring around the country, and he says he had never been invited out by cast people before to hang out. And we would go to like strip clubs after the show with him if he didn't have an overnight that night. If we were in the same place for two nights and stuff. We always hung out with John. He's a good buddy of ours, and still, even though we're at the Rio now and not on the road, every time he's driving through, when he's hauling something through Vegas, he always stops off at the office and comes by the show.
Drops off
a
case or whatever he's traveling with.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So I'm all for the hanging out. What's that?
Was he from upstate, out of Chicago?
No, he was actually out of, I think he was out of Mississippi or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah,
that's great.
And he was, it was a very small company he worked for, and we hired him when we go out for a tour for 6 months or something. He was the one that did all our hops. So I even rode with him once in the truck in a very short hop, because that truck had goddamn everything. He had Sirius and XM, and he had navigation, and he had everything in there.
We're set up.
You sure are, man. And all the MP3s and everything going on. He had great stories. He was a Vietnam vet and a real cool guy. So I love talking to him. So good luck with your lawsuit. And please, as you go with the lawsuit, mention the carrier all you want. Do not mention Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau. I was deposed a while ago, bro, and I hated it. I just really hated being deposed. So don't bring my name into it. But best of luck, Paul.
Could I ask you one question about John?
Sure.
Did you allow him the extra groupies?
Yes. He had whatever we were done with.
Yeah, have a good day.
Okay, thanks a lot. Yeah, John still stops too. He was just at the office a few days ago. And he did say that. We'd say to him if we had he would usually be driving overnight if we were doing one-nighters. Mm-hmm. But if we had two or three nights in a place, we were all going out. We always brought John with us to this. Uh-oh. Did I just say that the driver for Penn & Teller went to strip clubs with us? I believe that his wife did not approve of that. I've just said we never went to the strip clubs with John, of course.
It wasn't really his name.
We would go out to dinner with him afterward. We would go out to dinner with him, and then there would be hotels on the strip that would have a restaurant. That's what I meant by strip clubs.
Club.
And we'd go out and have a nice shrimp dinner in Louisiana
steaks
or
and
something.
Baked potatoes.
Steaks and baked potatoes. Well, actually, no, he also had a heart problem, so no steaks. We would go out and get steamed vegetables. Me and the whole crew, we get steamed vegetables at a heterosexual men-only club that served nothing but steamed vegetables.
Man, we and played Yahtzee.
We played Yahtzee, and not for money. And we would play nothing but classical music in the background softly while we ate steamed vegetables and played Yahtzee, not for money. Sorry, John. 866-570-PED, 7366 if you don't have. And I'm sure he listens to the show because he has everything. I mean, in the cab of his truck was like the NSA. I mean, he was not just getting every XM, Sirius, HBO, Showtime, every single station. I'm sure he's getting every conversation you have in your bedroom. He had a radio. That's why he needed an 18-wheeler. I think a quarter of it was the radio in the tractor. 866-570-PEN 7366. Should there be a law against dating your doctor or doctors dating you? PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We'll be back after this on CBS Radio Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM, CBS Radio, 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We're talking about this law in Washington State that stops doctors from dating patients, but also patients' brothers and sisters, and also not any sort of health care provider, not just doctors, but also dental hygienists, optometrists, anything. There's a lot
against it. Massage therapists. You can't date your massage therapist.
Well, that was in Minnesota, right?
That was in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, you can't date your massage therapist. But going to a massage therapist is a form of dating. So, we got a few Gmails.
As always, the Gmails are flowing in.
I got one from our good friend Amy, who said, Dear Penn, during an eye exam, my optometrist said, okay, now we have to, now we're going to do a test for dominance. So I said, fine, doc, get on your knees. So that's one. And then a lot of people have optometrist jokes. I tried dating my optometrist, but sex was a problem. She kept asking me, is it better like this or like this? Better like this or like this? Better, 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 worse, better. We get a lot of people writing jokes.
We have a patriot. This is Tom. I'm from Washington State and currently live there. If you find me a really hot dental hygienist or optician, I would be willing to test this law in the courts.
Well, you know, we have we could do a dating thing on here because we do have, although we're not on a station in Washington State, we are picked up by a lot of people on computers. A lot of people listen to our show on computers. So if you are a hot optometrist or dental hygienist living in Washington and want to date Tom, just give us a call and we'll have our illegal dating service. Oh, that's really much sexier than it should be. As always, we have there's no subject that has anything to do with sex that Natasha 1.0 won't comment on. Good morning, sexies. When my last job was going to hell, I briefly went to a shrink. While we never dated, he did frequent the same S&M clubs I did. So my shrink saw me naked and engaged in all sorts of debauchery. It never bothered either of us, and in fact made things go much quicker because then there was no need to tone down my personal life in my sessions. So I think in the end, he made way less money on me since I only went to him about 6 times. But he did get to see me naked, which is hard to put a value on. Kisses. That's kisses from Natasha 1.0. For those of you tuned in late, the Penn Jillette Show here on CBS Free FM is a 3 Natasha show. We have 3 Natashas that listen to our show, and we love them all. Not equally. We love Natasha 1.0 the most, but we love all our Natashas.
I haven't met any of the others in person.
Neither have I. We did meet A in person. She brought us at the Randy thing. She brought us little cheesecakes. You didn't get those, Patrick. You weren't there at the Randy thing. But she brought us little homemade cheesecakes.
Cupcake-sized cheesecakes in 100 different flavors.
Yeah, not 100.
Well, but pretty close.
It was pretty good. It was really good. Yeah, she was great. A is just terrific. She has cheesecakes. What more do you want of a woman? She's a skeptic and she has cheesecakes. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. A lot of people who want to date their therapist. Let's talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Penn, how are you?
Never better, boss. What's up with you?
Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a mental health counselor.
Uh-huh.
And, no, I don't. I don't want to date any of my clients. Sorry to say.
There's never any hot crazies that come in?
Well, not to say there's not any hot crazies, but just don't date them. You know, actually, in a way, you feel a bit, you know, if you're an upstanding citizen, you feel a bit sorry for them.
Have you met any upstanding citizens?
Yeah, they're few and far between.
Since you have this job and have the contact, do you think it requires a law, or do you think it's just really good advice?
No, it's actually a rule of ethics that we follow. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor, and it's in our rule of ethics. And
but if
we can
you
lose our license if we don't follow them.
Right, but so if you didn't follow the rules, you would lose your license, and the government would mandate that you couldn't practice, and therefore it is a circuitous law. Is that right? I mean, it is.
Yes.
It is enforced legally. Do you feel good about that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do, because there's some people in the field that are really in the field to cure themselves.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately,
I've met a few of those.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. So yeah, I do believe, you know, being a rule of ethics, that it does need to be there and be in place.
Uh-huh.
And the way it's written in Washington, I like that because it saves you from dating. I've known people who have dated daughters of clients and things like that, and it's just they know that they're vulnerable. You know, professionals in the field know that they're vulnerable. Well, it's kind of like a shark to blood.
Are you married yourself?
Yes, sir.
You are. And how'd you meet your wife?
I met my wife actually when I was painting my car right after high school.
Okay. Well,
I've known my wife for a long time.
So you're totally out of the loop. There's no problem. But don't you think that people often meet the people they're romantically involved with through their jobs?
Sure, absolutely. But like when you're a therapist, you use a thing called transference with your client.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
And it's a strong tool in your toolbox. And it could be manipulated and used incorrectly.
Uh-huh.
And you really use that as a tool to move a person forward in your therapy or in your sessions. And it could be misused and abused. And it's the thing that you don't want to – it's kind of sacred within the field. And you don't want to abuse that tool.
And I guess if it's absolute true love, you can never find another, you'd be happy to lose your license, right?
That's a slippery slope. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
And if you think about what these people have been through, you don't want to abuse that really good therapeutic relationship. And if you're true to your profession, you don't want to lose your license. And if you're doing right by your clients, you're going to keep that objective relationship.
And have you ever slept with a crazy person?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you know what? Hey, I can't talk about my life before I live my wife.
That's what I'm talking about. Because I'll tell you one thing. When I said, have you ever slept with a crazy person, every single person in the studio here nodded. Godot, from Jack,
I'm
and from Patrick.
I'm not going to tell you myself. She may be listening because she likes your show, too. Okay. So, yeah.
Boy, he's a smart therapist. Thanks a lot, Chris.
I like your show. I love it.
Thanks so much, man.
We have an email from a doctor. Says, I'm a doctor and have been saved several times from psychos because of that law. I'm married now, and that's reason enough. But when I was single, it did keep me from dating some pretty hot women.
He means saved. He said saved.
He said saved at the first, and then added the pretty hot women at the end. So maybe a little conflicted.
He's ambivalent about it. Doesn't really know what he feels now. Let's talk to there's a guy named Dave. Hey, Dave, what's up, man?
I don't know what it is, but for some reason, Washington State seems to be a state that a lot of these really wacko laws originate from. For example, several years ago, they passed a law called the International Marriage Broker Regulation Act in Washington State, which basically requires clients of international matchmaking organizations to produce their police records before they can communicate with a woman in a foreign country. And you know what? That started a federal law that was passed back on December 17th of last year, actually in 2005, called the International Marriage Broker Regulation Act. It's a federal law which requires clients of international matchmaking organizations to produce their police records before they can communicate with somebody in a foreign country. And when the law was passed, I got to tell you, it's like we're losing our civil liberties in this country, and people aren't aware of it. And they need to stand up and start fighting these laws. When this law was passed, there was no debate, there was no questions answered. It was attached to the back end of the Violence Against Women's Act. And I contacted 89 congressional offices last year and told them about this law. And they passed this law, but they don't even realize that they passed this crazy law.
Now, why do you know about this crazy law?
Well, if your listeners are listening, I would kindly advise them to go to the website and type in IMBRA, IMBRA, and they'll get a lot of information about this. It's basically is a very radical law, and it basically it's almost like you're being accused of being a criminal, and you have to prove your innocence first before you're allowed to communicate with somebody. It's a violation of civil rights, and these radical groups are really trying to destroy our civil liberties here.
I agree with you. Everything you're saying, it certainly seems on the surface that I agree with you. But how do you know about this? Are you a lawyer? Are you a matchmaker? How do you know?
I have been fighting this law. I have wrote numerous articles in the Cumberland Times addressing this issue. These are radical feminist groups that pass this law, and they use fraud and deception to get this law passed. And nobody refuses to do anything about it. The ability of somebody to marry somebody or to correspond with somebody is a basic human right.
I agree with you completely, but what I'm asking is, were you involved? I mean, have you been to the Philippines? Was there a matchmaking you were involved in? Were you?
I have dated different women in the Eastern or former Soviet Union.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. So this law really did affect you personally. Is that right?
Well, yes, because in order for me to contact a person in a foreign country, if I want to use an international matchmaking organization, I have to submit my police records. And you know what? I've never been convicted of a crime, but this is an insult to all American
men.
I agree with you.
I'm not just American men. It's you know, freedom is freedom. And freedom, I think, is very important to see that it's eroded. I just always wonder when people have a particular stone in their shoe where it actually came from. That's why I was asking you those probing questions, Dave. But thanks so much for pointing that out.
Can I just say one other thing? But this law also regulates all international marriages. That's the crazy thing about it. This law was supposed to regulate clients of international matchmaking organizations, but it regulates all international marriages. And basically, the last time background checks were required for international marriages occurred in 1938 in Nazi Germany. And it sets a precedent, a dangerous precedent, for more future government intervention into our personal lives. It's a very dangerous law.
I agree with you. Give the website once more so people that want to know more can find out.
I want your listeners to go to the website and the Yahoo search engine and type in I as in India, M as in Mary, B as in Bravo, R as in Republic, and A as in Apple. IMBRA. I-M-B-R-A.
You did a really good job of thinking of those letters. I was trying to stay ahead of you, and I couldn't. Thank you so much,
IMBRA,
Dave.
IMBRA 2005. Please, listeners, go to your website and find out about this terrible law that the lawmakers passed, and they didn't even realize that they passed this law.
Thank you. And I know this is really a big problem because I've seen some of those hot Russian chicks in the porno movies, so I agree with you completely. Thanks so much, Dave. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Sitting across from me with a headset on, Michael Goudeau. Happy Jack and Patrick in the booth. My name is Penn Jillette, CBS Radio, Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette. Excuse me, I could have cleared my throat. I had 4 minutes. I could have cleared my throat during then.
Nope.
866-570-PEN, 7366. I'm Penn Jillette. Sitting here with the headphones across from me is Michael Goudeau.
Yeah.
PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And we got a lot of Gmails coming in, a lot of phone calls. A guy just wrote in, a woman, I believe, named Sharon, said, hey, guys, damn it. If there are so many hot doctors out there, they need a law. Why haven't I had any of them? By the way, does all healthcare providers in the law include veterinarians? Boy, she's ready. I don't know where Sharon lives, but if you're around Sharon,
watch
that's
out, doctors.
Watch out, doctors and vets. She's gunning for you. She's ready for you. Let's see. Let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Well, I'd like to disagree with your last caller completely. Because I used a number of international dating services 4 years ago.
But what state are you in?
Illinois.
See, that's entirely different. He's talking about, he said specifically Washington State.
Oh, he was talking only one.
Yeah, only one state had these laws. So how did the overseas
also, it also for? Started in 2005. This one, International Marriage Brokerage Regulation Act of 2005.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
He also
got
said
it under
national.
The wire.
So are you still doing overseas dating?
No, I married a woman.
So did you really?
So
what year?
Out,
what
yeah.
year? What year?
3 years ago.
Okay, so that was before the law. And how'd that work out? How is it having an overseas?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Where's she from?
Ukraine.
Well, the Ukraine girls really knock me out.
They didn't leave the West behind.
And you dated, I don't really know how this works, this overseas brides thing. You dated her on the line for how long?
Well, we just exchanged letters for probably 6 months, and then I went to meet her.
Oh, yeah, you flew over.
Mm-hmm.
And
where in the Ukraine?
I went to Kiev to meet her.
Uh-huh.
She's on Dnipro-Rust.
Do you speak Russian?
No.
Did she speak English?
A little.
Uh-huh. And it was for about 6 months, then you flew over. And was it all you thought it was going to be when you met her? Was she everything?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh. And she also dug you, and then you got married how soon after that?
Well, she took 5 months to get the visa, so 5 months later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great, great. And you've been living for 3 years happily as husband and wife, is that right?
Yes.
And no regrets at all?
No, none.
Do you know other, is there a group of people like Ukrainian wives that, does she know other women that were from over there?
No.
But she's had a good time. You've had a good time, and it worked out well, huh?
Yes, it did.
So there shouldn't be that law then, damn it.
No, absolutely not.
Would have gotten under. Well, congratulations, Mike. I often wonder about how all that works and how all. You went through a service. Is that how you found her?
Through the internet, yeah.
Wow, that's terrific. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Mike. Okay. I just love people meeting any way they get to meet.
A
ringing endorsement of internet dating.
Yeah.
You got any good Gmails?
I do. I have one from someone who used to be in the military, Carson. She says, Army rules prohibit officers and enlisted from dating, not just in the same unit, but at all. As of 1999, that's the fraternization rules of the Army manual. But if you're an officer, you cannot date enlisted personnel. Now, they had a grandfathering in prior relationships. They set up a cutoff date for relationships, and that was that.
Really? Yeah. People are really nuts by that. You know, for a long while we had, and I guess this is a whole different thing. For a long while we had a husband and wife working for us, you know, mm-hmm. stage manager yep. and backstage, and it was terrific because they were on the road. It saved us a hotel room every night. Every night on the road.
Thousands of dollars.
Well, sure it was if you had it all
up. Over the course of a couple of years. That's cool.
We should make a little rule in the Pentadel organization that everybody has to be sleeping with someone else on the crew. That's what you have to do to save us hotel rooms. But I don't know about that, you know, because I've worked in such small organizations. Mm-hmm. And because I met my wife after the show. I mean, she was an audience member at the Penn & Teller show.
That's an abuse of power.
That's an abuse of power. I know, she had too
You're
much power.
You're quite a talker. She saw the show.
Yeah.
And then she tricked you.
She had a lot of power over me. You know, she dropped, the first time I met her, she dropped Dawkins' name in the first 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just kind of said, I was having dinner with Richard Dawkins the other night. And then from then on, it was love at first mention of Dawkins. I think she was kind of in her, she was gunning for me as a friend. I don't think she ever thought it would be romantic, but she was gunning for me as a friend because at the first Randy conference, that's the James Randy. It's not a conference of people who are horny. at the first James Randy Education Foundation conference, we sent you probably don't even remember this. You might even know it, but we sent advanced copies. Maybe Showtime doesn't know that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. it does matter, but they don't listen to my show. We sent advanced copies of Bull's hit before it ever aired on Showtime. It was shown at a special screening at the James Randi Educational Foundation. That's got to be illegal, doesn't it?
I don't even know about this. That's how illegal this is.
And she was very taken with the show Bull's hit, and the next time she was in Vegas to play golf, because, you know, my wife's quite a golfer, she was kind of gunning for me as a mm-hmm. friend, and then it developed into something more. So,
you know, when I was in Ringling Brothers, we weren't allowed to date like any of the promoters or anything. I was a clown, so we shouldn't be allowed to date anyone, really. But
I mean, it's amazing that there would have to be a law, I mean, a rule, because it seems like no promoter would want to date a clown.
You know, me and one of the other clowns had a date with a couple of female promoters very early on, like the 4 weeks into the show in St. Petersburg, and we were walking.
And how'd the date come about?
You know, the promoters have to promote the show. One of the things that they do is to take the clowns to these events.
Oh, so it's like one of those promoters. When I was on the road, the local promoters would always send out a PR woman
mm-hmm.
and to take us to different radio stations.
Right.
And
that's the same thing.
I would always end up hooking up with them.
Well,
not always.
You were a small enough company that you made the rules. Remember? You were the boss. So if you had said you couldn't date them, it wouldn't have even been a rule.
There was actually a couple cases where there was one TV show that we did that wanted to date one of the actresses, and I waited till the whole TV show was over. And
how
there was
responsible
a
of you.
There was a promoter that we that I got involved with in Chicago, actually, and I waited until the run was over to ask her out. I asked her out the last night of the run. You know, we did like a 2 week run. I asked her out the last night. That seems all right.
That seems fair enough.
Okay, so you were going to have this date.
We're walking across the parking lot. We're going over to the hotel to meet these women, me and the other clown, and we're in clown makeup in our street clothes, but still with our clown makeup on. Well, you know, she has a nice shower and stuff, and we were going to go wash our faces at her place and then go to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And we're walking across the parking lot.
And you also had a vision of maybe hot showers. There's a certain place on my face.
At that point, we weren't. We weren't quite that optimistic.
I met the clown porn people at the porn convention in town. Yep. I met the people that sent us all that clown porn, mm-hmm. and she apologized for not being in her makeup. Like, that was going to bum me. But go ahead.
So we're walking across the parking lot. There's this big, long limousine, and we walk by the limousine, and the window rolls down, and behind it is the owner of the circus, Mr. Irvin Feld.
Well, not Kenneth.
Well, Kenneth is in there, too.
Right.
Irvin and Kenneth, the old man and his son. We're walking across the parking lot, and you know, Irvin Feld leans out with his cigar and glass. He looked like Groucho, kind of an old Groucho kind of
sure,
guy.
Sure, I know. I met Irvin.
Hey, where are you boys going? And we were, you know, we point different directions. And, you know, total classic. We are dead caught to our lives. We're going to be fired. And we went down. We were just looking for something to eat at the hotel. And he says, you know, me and my family are going to dinner. Why don't you guys get in the limo and go to dinner with us?
Now, why would he ever want clowns with him?
I'm sure to stop us from dating the reverse. The amazing thing about Mr. Feld was that he knew everything about us. We'd been in the circus for 4 weeks and went to dinner. First off, clearly blew off the dinner with the promoters because
we
were caught.
Did you call them at least?
We had no way to call them. This was before cell phones. We had nothing. We were trapped. We went to the Owl Cafe
so there's
with Mr. Feld.
What city was this in?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
St. Petersburg, Florida. There's a couple of women
yeah.
that go to therapists yeah. and go, I was stood up by
stood
a
up
clown.
By clowns. First year clowns. Not even the good ones. Not even the professional ones. The
I
4 weeks
stood
in
up
clowns.
By a clown. I could just see crying your eyes out being stood up. Because first of all, when you're going out with a clown, you're already hitting bottom.
Your expectations are probably not that high.
Yeah, you know, you've probably been doing bad in your dating life.
Well, Mr. Feld was, we went to dinner with him, and he had stomach problems. He could only have Special K cereal. So we're having dinner, he's having Special K, and he knows everything about us. You know, Michael, how's your mom? How's her computer job going? You know, many, many details about me and my family that your boss of, you know, a huge organization like that, you would never expect to know.
Yeah,
it was frightening. And so it was clear to me that he knew we were going to catch the promoters.
Yeah, when I met Irvin Feld, he said to me, "You still drinking a lot of Coca-Cola?" He knew that. He
Isn't
knew that
weird?
About me. Yeah, he knew.
It's
everything.
Weird stuff. That.
Let's take one more call here. Let's get rid of some of these. We got Jared. How you doing, Jared?
Hi, Penn. Nice to talk to you guys.
Very nice to talk to you, man. Thanks for hanging in there. What's up?
Yeah, I'm one of your time shifted listeners. I'm actually calling from London right now.
Oh, cool. Future.
First time I've listened to you live. Anyway, I wanted to talk about, I think earlier you said that there was a 2-year like statute of limitations after you leave a medical care provider that
right.
you can't date them.
But it's only, but if you, this is in Washington State, but if you
right,
left
right.
in order to date them, and if you told them you might date them, the 2 years doesn't count. You have to leave them, have no interest in dating them, not let them know that, and then you can meet them under separate circumstances. But you certainly can't call the office.
Right, right. Is it just me, or does that sound like a setup for a Chekhov play or some kind of movie or something? You know? These two, like, forlorn people who can't even talk about the love they share. It sounds ridiculous to me.
It's amazing. And, you know, we've had a lot of people who called up today that kind of defended a law and said there is an abuse of power in that and stuff. But I just think that – it's easier than that. I just think it's
yeah.
easier than laws and rules and everything. If, you know, if it's a bad idea to date your doctor or your patients, that bad idea should be told to each other. But if you know, if people want to do that, they should be able to do it. How are things in England?
Oh, all right.
Because you don't talk funny, so you're an American.
No. I'm from Connecticut. I'm studying here, getting a master's in film studies. So
yeah, why would you go to England instead of Hollywood?
I made a mistake.
No. Connecticut Yankee abroad.
Yeah, right. I've always kind of liked England, but it's a little different living here. But the other thing I wanted to ask about is, does this apply to, like...
Oh, yeah, the music's coming on, but thank you so much, Jared. We could talk a little longer, but it's so hard to understand them. What with that heavy-duty Connecticut English accent all going on? I'm sitting across from a clown who tried to date a promoter. That could only be that I'm Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS Radio, and we will be back tomorrow. Come on, people, now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
Check Penn Jillette weekdays on Free FM.